We spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the Batista Adore fight, the rematch at UFC 200, perhaps. We don't know. But it's always fun when you get radio people talking about it. It's better to get, I don't know, maybe somebody that played the game professionally and understands a little bit more about those unwritten rules and so much more. It's Dimitri Young joining us. Dimitri, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks so much for getting up this early and joining us. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, except I've been up for 2 hours already.
Ah, see, there you go. I just made the assumption. 2 hours already? Jeez. Are you East Coast right now?
No, I'm in, not so sunny Southern California right now.
Oh, wow.
You watched, I'm sure, the TV yesterday and heard the radio, and everybody's got these crazy opinions, good or bad, on the fight between Batista and Adore. Just straight out of the gate, Dimitri, how did you view that play, and was anyone in the wrong there, or is that just baseball?
First and foremost, that's some good baseball right there. Baseball has been getting a little bland over the last few years, and it needs a little excitement, and it all started when Jose Batista hit that three-run home run against the Rangers. In the playoffs last year, I think it left a bad taste in the Rangers' mouth, so to speak. And so it all came full circle after Ian Desmond hit the home run, and then they brought Ricky Vaughn in to face, Matt Bush to face. And,
but,
you know, he got smoked. And if you ever watch Jose Batista ever since he hit those 50 home runs, and I'm not saying he's a bad guy, I'm not saying he's a good guy. All I'm saying is, you know, you're not allowed to come inside on him, and he's going to give you that stare down. And, well, he didn't give Ricky Vaughn the stare down, so what he tried to do, he thought that he would come in, slide hard and on Odor. I guess he thought he was the weakest link. And come to find out, he got a right hook for her. Ooh!
Yeah, that was, you know what? He was surprised by it. He thought it was going to be some shoving and some pushing. But my question to you, Dimitri, is when you look at that, you know, and you mentioned that they had a bad taste, and it all goes back to the bat flip and being knocked out of the playoffs. My question is, why the hell do you wait until the final game of the series, especially when they chose to do it when the game was potentially on the line? Why do you wait? Why don't you do it in the first game of the series? Is that kind of like being a little bit chicken?
It's all about strategy. And at that point, when they hit him, the Rangers just went up by three runs. And, you know, they hit him, and it's really no harm, no foul. Because when I play, a lot of times when something like that happens, we want to retaliate immediately. And the manager is like, no. We have
to
take our time to do that. And so they took their time to hit him, and he took it upon himself to come in hard on Odor. And we all know what happened last year with Chase Utley and the guy from the Pirates, Kong, you know, both losing, you know, so they were out. And so he took it upon himself, and I don't know anything about Odor, where his upbringing or anything like that, but obviously, he had older brothers because he was able to throw those bowls real good.
Oh, it was quick. It was quick. Yeah. But was it the right time to do that?
I would say yes. If they were trying to retaliate, that was the right time because there was nobody on. They were up by a run. What was it, one out at the time?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a bad time to do that.
Well, I guess I'm kind of curious because they put the winning run on base, and Dimitri, that's kind of where I end up on this is, yeah, you know, bide your time, whatever it is, get your payback, all of that. But in the eighth inning of a one-run game in the final game of the series, seems to me the Rangers kind of look like the losers there for, like, willingly putting the tying run on base.
Well, you know, like I said, that baseball is very unpredictable in the way that they do things. And, it worked out for the Rangers. As far as getting the outs concerned, you know, they're going to lose Odor for a few days because, you know, one, he did initiate it after the fact that Batista slid in hard. But it's almost a bad message to show fighting in baseball when they're trying to clean it up with the whole steroid thing and play ball with getting the youth in the baseball. So from a standpoint of visibility and the image that they want to present, no. But old school baseball, that was exciting.
Dimitri Young joining us on KHDK. And Dimitri, you and I are about the same age. I'll allow for this. I love the old school. I love policing. I don't like giant bat flips. But I have to acknowledge that in this day and age, you have the Bryce Harpers of the world and the Jose Bautistas that they do the bat flips. They want to show the emotion out on the field. And this has brought up the whole debate of, is there a place for fighting in baseball? Is there a place for this to be policed? Are the unwritten rules known? Which side do you generally stand? Are you more old school, or are you getting kind of the new school attitude?
I'm a bit of both. Because when I got called up in 96, you still had all the old school guys. The rookies are supposed to be seen, not heard. And all those unwritten rules I learned in the minor leagues. And there's one in particular that really puzzles me, because if a pitcher is throwing a no-hitter in the seventh inning, why on God's green earth will I take the bunt away? I never understood that. You're trying to get on base to win a ball game, especially if it's one or two runs, and you have a guy like an Ichiro that can bunt and get on. I mean, seriously, I'm not going to sit there, hey, you're going to have to swing the bat. So I really have a problem with that particular rule.
The unwritten rule thing, too, just to follow up on that, because there's one, I'm all in favor of the decorum, sportsmanship, respect, the whole deal. But there's one thing I'm trying to get clarified, Dimitri. Exactly how big does your lead have to be and in what inning before you have to stop stealing bases?
You know what? That's another one. That's another one. It's like, okay, so we're just supposed to lie down and take this loss? Or are we trying to find a way? And I believe these unwritten rules were back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And they just haven't been rebooted or revamped to today's game.
Do you remember, Dimitri, it seems like now there are a lot of, you know, you've got the Bryce Harpers, the Mike Trouts, you know, Manny Machados of the world, these guys that are in their early 20s that are having a huge impact on the game. How much of this shift in attitude do you think kind of relates to the fact, were there that many really, really young stars in the game when you were playing? And maybe does that kind of contribute to the shift where these guys, they have power now? You've got a 21-year-old that doesn't have to care about that stuff because he's the best player on your team.
Well, that goes back to these GMs not signing older veteran players to these million-dollar, million-five-dollar contracts to, well, I'm going to put it to you like this, babysit those younger players and show them the proper way of being a big league ball player. You know, because when I got called up, there were, well, with the Cardinals, there was like five guys that had 20 years of big league service. And so I learned from them how to conduct myself as a big league ball player, you know, not spouting off to the media when you and the management may have disagreements, or not hustling out a ball and getting thrown out of taken out of the game by the coach, and then saying stuff basically about the coach saying that he was wrong for doing that. So when I came up, we had guys to police us and show us the right way. Nowadays, you don't see – you hear about, what, 4 or 5, 38 and older guys in the league now? Where when I came up, there was plenty of guys in their early 40s that were basically bench players, come off the bench, pinch hit, or guys that pitchers that were in the bullpen, basically, and they would show these guys how to be big league ball players, how to accept the failure, how to come back the next day to possibly against the same team and do damage against them. So when when the management took out those veteran ball players, now these young guys come up, and guess what? They have a voice now, and they're being heard.
Dimitri Young joining us on The Drive this morning. I got a question for you. We talked to Pete Rose the other day on the show last week, and then, you know, you talk about kind of what happened with him and his career, and then you look at kind of the PED scandal that's going on in baseball right now. How do players within the clubhouse view guys like that get themselves into some kind of trouble in terms of any kind of scandal, and where they should be in terms of the Hall of Fame, if they should be on that ballot, if they should be voted into the Hall of Fame? How do players look at that?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but the guys that have been popped for PEDs, it wasn't their entire career, so when they got caught, it was obviously for a reason. But for me, they still had to go out there and play, and they still had to go out there and put those numbers up. I'm more on the player side than looking at them as cheaters, especially before 2003 when they started doing the testing. Before then, it was frowned upon, but it wasn't one of those things where they suspended guys. So they were, whoever was doing whatever they were doing prior to that, I would say give them a pass. And you can put in the Hall of Fame on their plaque or whatever. This was part, they were tested positive for PEDs and da-da-da-da-da. But quite frankly, those guys did go out there. They worked hard. They put up the numbers. Mm-hmm. And they were able to stay healthy, because a lot of times when people do those PEDs, most of them get injured and never hear from them again.
Yeah.
Dimitri, we're up against a break, and we appreciate your time, but I can't let you off the phone without asking you, because I know this is in your wheelhouse. Would you agree that there's way too many baseball cards out there right now compared to when we were collecting as a kid?
Oh, my God, way too many. Too many subsets.
Seriously.
I mean, I don't want a jersey card or Thank a you. Card.
it was Beckett. It was Beckett. It was Topps. Maybe Donruss, Fleer. When I was a kid, and I'd go over to the Beckett book, and I'd look them up, I'd collect those, the nice wood borders in 87 with McGuire and Will Clark and all that. And now, like you said, you got the signature, the jersey. There's somebody's hair in there. Somebody spit on the card. It's stupid.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like you don't even know what the true rookie card is.
Thank you. You're so right. Is this the rookie card? No, it's the one when he was in high school that was taken 10 years ago that I didn't know existed. That's Gem Mint 10 or something.
Yeah.
See, people don't know. Dimitri's a big card guy. You're still a big card guy, aren't you? Did you get out of that?
I still dabble in it a little bit.
It's too confusing now.
Yes, it is.
We appreciate your time.
You.
Two-time All-Star Dimitri Young joining us. Thanks for answering a whole bevy of questions we threw at you. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the baseball season.
I most certainly will. You guys have a great day.
Okay, you too. You too. That's Dimitri Young. A lot of different stuff covered there. It's interesting what he said. I'm not surprised he's more of an old schooler, although they say he's kind of in the middle, but also about the PEDs as well.
Yeah, I'm always curious how players look at that part of thing.